हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो प्लीज फॉरगिव माय ऑडेसिटी टू सिट ऑन चेयर इन फ्रंट ऑफ ऑल ऑफ यू एग्जॉल्टेड सोल्स। आई हैव सम लेग पेन्स, आई कैंट
एफर्ट टू सिट फॉर 3 hours क्रॉस लेग्स। सो टुडे वी विल डिस्कस अ ब्रीफ ओवरव्यू ऑफ द फर्स्ट नो द 21st टू 50th 30 चैप्टर्स of 10th canto. So 10th canto being long, we divided it into 3 parts. First 20, next 30, last 40. 20, 30, 40. Why 20, 30, 40? How can 40 section and 20 section be there? Because first 20 are quite elaborate. Prabhupada writes very long purports. Very deep subject matter is there. So last 40 are little lighter Dwarka episodes. So we'll begin with 21st chapter. I think last year in your grand test you had 21st chapter already. Still we'll see a quick review in 2-3 minutes. So in the first 20 chapters we have seen how Krishna took birth and then he appeared in the prison cell of Kamsa. He was taken to this Gokul. Right, the babies were exchanged. And then Kamsa would send so many demons and Krishna killed all those demons right from his infant stage till his childhood. So Putana, Shakatasur, then later Trinavarta, then there is Damodar Leela description where Krishna collapsed that trees. Nalakuvera, Manigriva, they were delivered by Krishna. So after that, so many childhood pastimes of Krishna are described. How he used to crawl, how he used to steal butter. Gopi's complaints, they are described. Then vision of universal form by Mother Yashoda in the 8th chapter. Then 9th chapter, Damodar Leela. 10th chapter, deliverance of Nalakuvera Manigriva. Then 11th chapter, further playing pastimes, the Sakhirasa pastimes. Then 12th chapter, killing of Aghasur. Then 11th chapter also has killing of Bakasur and Vatsasur. Then 12th chapter, Aghasur. Then Brahma Vimohan Leela, Brahmaji's prayers. After that, swallowing forest fire. Then subduing Kaliya. And again, swallowing forest fire 2 times. So after that, we have seen a brief description of Balramji's activities also of killing Dhenukasur and Bakasur. Dhenukasur and Pralambasur. Then there is a description of autumn season in Vrindavan. Description of monsoon. After that, autumn. So after describing briefly the seasons in Vrindavan and after describing briefly Krishna's pastimes in those seasons, so Sukadeva Goswami will describe now Gopi's feelings towards Krishna. How they are remembering Krishna when he was in forest. So this is the initial opening verses where Krishna enters forest with all the gopas. Barha pidam natavaravapu karanayor karanikaram bibhradvasa kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamalam. So that wonderful verse comes and post that the remembrance of various gopis about Krishna's activities are described. So Krishna enters the forest while playing flute. Then all the gopis would privately discuss about his activities. So that is Venugita. And in this Venugita, we have descriptions of Krishna's form and how eyes become perfect only when they see Krishna and Balaram. Akshanvatam phalamidam naparam vidama. So then Krishna's flute and the response of peacocks, then does and bucks and wives of demigods and various other birds and rivers, the clouds towards Krishna's playing of flute is described. So when Krishna and Balaram are going into the forests, so they were dancing there, and gopis, actually they wanted to disguise themselves and go into the forest so that they can see Krishna and Balaram. They were saying that seeing Krishna and Balaram is the purpose of one's eyes. So it is not the purpose of our eyes only, it is the purpose of everybody's eyes. So one should not hesitate to see Krishna, and one should not blame us for having feelings towards Krishna in spite of his being a boy, young boy in the village of some other family. So then they glorify the flute of Krishna, then how peacocks dance, they glorify the land of Vrindavan. What is that verse? Vrindavanam sakhi bhuvo vitanoti kirtim yad devaki sata padam bujalabdha lakshmi. Then all the does and bucks, they get attracted to Krishna's flute song, and the gopis complain that all the male deer, they are allowing their wives to get attracted to Krishna, and our husbands don't allow us. That was their complaint. And even the demigoddesses, they get attracted to Krishna's flute song, and then the demigods, their husbands, so they don't prohibit them. When cows and calves get attracted to Krishna, when calves are drinking milk, the milk will flow from their mouth. So their focus is disturbed, right? So they get attracted to Krishna. So they shed tears. And the rivers, they get attracted to Krishna's flute song. They embrace Krishna's lotus feet with their waves and offer flowers, lotuses to Krishna. Then birds get attracted to Krishna's flute song, and they remain like still sages. Just like sages don't move, birds also don't move. All the birds are by nature restless. Then clouds, they want to serve Krishna. Although it is like season of monsoon, summer, still the clouds want to shower some cooling droplets upon Krishna and Balaram to give them a cooling effect. So that's why they also shower these drops. Then the aborigine girls see the footprints of Krishna in the forest, and they get attracted. Then the Govardhan hill, Hantaya Madri Rabala Haridasa Varyo. So, Yad Devaki, what is the next verse? Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramoda. So, Govardhan is very fortunate to offer so many things to Krishna and his cows and his boyfriends. So, like that, gopis are absorbed in various discussions of Krishna, and Sukadeva Goswami is narrating all this to Parikshit Maharaj. Then in the 22nd chapter, we see Krishna stealing the garments of unmarried gopis. So it is the month of Margasirsha. So gopis did Katyayani Vrata by eating non-spicy kichdi. And their worship paraphernalia included lamps and other aromatic substances like sandalwood pulp, betel nuts, leaves, garlands, incense, etc. The goal of their worship is to achieve Krishna as their husband. So they are meditating on Krishna. That is their process. So once they entered the Yamuna to take bath, and Krishna, understanding their heart's desire, he arrived there. He was accompanied by some other gopas, not very older. They're just 2-3 year old toddlers. They don't even understand the difference between male and female also. So Krishna just stole all their clothes and sat on the kadamba tree. Then he asked the gopis, "You come one by one on your own and then collect your garments." So gopis tried to convince, but Krishna would say, "You should come out. So you have committed an offense of bathing naked, right? It's an offense to Varuna. So how can you do like this? So you should fold your palms, then I will return your garments." So like that. But eventually gopis came out to please Krishna. Although Krishna treated the gopis like this, He did it out of affection, just to fulfill their desires. But gopis, in one sense, from one angle, if you see, gopis have been thoroughly cheated. They were deprived of their modesty. They were ridiculed. They were made just like toy dolls. You come naked in front of some other man. So that is like, it's like embarrassing them so much. Their clothes are stolen. But still, they did not feel inimical towards Krishna. They have no envy towards Krishna. Because they were simply joyful that we got such an intimate association of Krishna. So that is the glory of their devotion. So after that, after this incident, Krishna would just go into the forest and along with the other gopas. So sometimes these exchanges happen between the gopas and Krishna. So they decorate Krishna with newly grown leaves and flowers, and they fan Krishna, they massage Krishna's feet, they make an umbrella of some tree branch, and Krishna would take them little ahead and then show them the trees of Vrindavan. And he says that etavat janma safalyam dehinam iha dehishu pranair arthair dhiya vacha shrey acharanam sada. So you see, these trees are so fortunate. They are able to fulfill the requirements of people. They are giving their lives and everything for the welfare of other people. So like that, everyone should give their prana, artha, dhiya, vacha for the welfare of other people. Like that. So the gopas, they slowly moved ahead and they reached Yamuna. Gopas felt hungry. They approached Krishna. So they said, "We are hungry." So then Krishna suggested that there are some yajnik brahmanas. So they are doing some yajnas. So you should go and ask them food. Tell them that Balram had sent us. Then later, if needed, you can take my name. So they went. All the gopas went. They asked the brahmanas. So brahmanas did not pay any heed to their words. So Sukadeva Goswami calls them. They are inexperienced fools. They are filled with so many desires. So they did not even respond to Krishna's request. They were considering Krishna as an ordinary boy. So then boys came back. They were disappointed. Then Krishna said, "You go and beg their wives. So they will give." So Brahmanapatris went to... Brahmanapatris were asked. So all of them ignored their relatives and then brought so much of foodstuffs for Krishna and Balaram in the forest. So it's like as if rivers flow towards the sea. All these Brahman Patanis, they just left everything, their family connections and everything, and then took food and came to Krishna to deliver. So here when the Gopa, this Brahman Patanis came, Krishna was standing with his friend. So his beauty is wonderfully described. Shyamam Hiranya Paridhim Vanamalya Barha Dhatu Praval Natavesha Manuvratamse Vinyasta Hastamitarena Dhanunam Abjam Karnot Palalaka Kapoala Mukhabjahasam. So Shyamam Hiranya Paridhim Vanamalya Barha. So his bodily complexion is dark blue. Shyamam. And Hiranya Paridhim. So he's wearing a garment, golden garment. Vanamalya Barha. He's wearing a forest flower garland and a peacock feather. Dhatu Pravala Natamesha Anuvratamse. So he was placing his hand on the shoulder of his friend and then twirling a flower, lotus flower, like this. So like that, his beauty is described, his hair, his cheeks, everything is described, smiling face. Then other verses also come in that context. So Krishna said, "What can I do for you?" So many Brahman Patnis came to offer food to Krishna. Understanding their desire, Krishna said, "What can I do for you?" So expert personalities render devotional service unto me. So one's body, mind, friends, relatives, etc., they become dear only because the self is dearer and I am dearmost to the self. So then he said, "You have come here all the way. Now you should go back to your homes." Then all the Brahman Patnis said, "We have given up everything and came to you, came to serve you. How can you ask us to go back? We can be here only, like Vanadevatas, We don't want to go back. Then Krishna said, Shravanat, Darshanat, Dhyanat, Mai Bhavo Anukirtanat, Natatha Asannikarshena, Pratiyata Tato Grahan. So, physical proximity is not so important. You should hear about me, you should see my deity form, you should meditate upon me, and you should chant my holy names. That is how you can be nearer to me, although you are at your homes. So physical proximity is not so important like this, like that he had sent them. So that's how the 23rd chapter completes. And also later the Krishna said that you go back, your relatives will accept you. Don't worry about that, right? I will make sure that your relatives will accept you. And Brahmanas, they accepted their wives back, but they also felt regretful that they couldn't serve Krishna. But because of fear of Kamsa, they could not go and meet Krishna. So now we can come to the 24th chapter, where once Nanda Maharaj was making arrangements for a big sacrifice, Indra Puja, then Krishna asked, what is this endeavor for? Right? What are you desiring to accomplish by this sacrifice? Right? You should not keep any secrets in front of your family members and friends. So is it a custom or it is based on scripture? Why are you doing this? Then Nanda Maharaj said, so Indra is the rain god. He will give us rains. And only because of rains we will get grains. So we should offer this puja to Indra. That's why we are doing this. Then Krishna said that it is Indra's duty. Jivas are forced to undergo their karma. So Indra cannot change this in any way. So why should people worship him? He's just doing his duty. So Krishna apparently spoke this karma mimamsa philosophy. So a person should remain in the position corresponding to his nature and should perform his own duty. Right? So then in Krishna proposed that we are living in the forest and hills. This Govardhan is providing us so many things. It is giving us grasses for the cows to eat, and it has so many waterfalls for us to survive on. So like that, Govardhan is serving us so much. So better we offer all this paraphernalia collected for Indra Puja to Govardhan. We'll do Govardhan Puja instead of Indra Puja. So Brahmana should do sacrifices, cows should be fed grasses, there should be a lot of charity. Everybody should be fed nicely, even dogs and dog eaters also should be fed nicely. So we should do parikrama around Govardhan. So like that, Indra Krishna proposed. Then everyone agreed. So yeah, what Krishna says, we will do. So then Krishna then assumed an unprecedented form, declaring that I am Govardhan Mountain. And all the offerings that the cowherd community offered, Krishna accepted all of that. He ate and he said, any more, I want more. So then, just see how this hill has appeared in person and bestowed mercy upon us. They were saying, let us pay our obeisances to him for safety of ourselves and our cows. Then Brajavasis, after this entire Govardhan Puja, they returned to their village and to their homes. Now, everybody was happy except Indra. So Indra became so happy, how can this cowherd man give up Indra Puja and worship a hill? Krishna is simply a talkative child, he's foolish, he's ignorant. Just by listening Krishna's words, this cowherd community ignored to worship me. How can that happen? So I will remove this pride. So he called the Samvartaka clouds and ordered them, go and pour torrents of rain in the Vrindavan community, right? So then Samvartaka clouds came, and then they started raining there, and all the cowherd men along with their family members, they approached Krishna for protection. They said that because the sacrifice of Indra is stopped, Indra became angry and he had sent unusual rains and winds. So then Krishna said, I will counteract this disturbance. So Krishna also wanted to humble Indra. So, and Krishna also thought that I have to protect my own people, Vrindavan Vasis, and I have to protect Indra. He is also my person only, but he is affected by pride. So I should protect. So sometimes there could be a problem between two devotees only. But a superior person, superior devotee, who takes care of both of them, he has to protect both of them. He has to protect the wrath, protect one devotee from the wrath of other devotee, and he has to protect that other devotee from his own wrath. Right? Sometimes these kind of things could happen. So, just like a child picks up a mushroom, Krishna picked up entire Govardhan and lifted it on his one hand, one finger. So, and Lord invited all the cowherd community to come under the Govardhan hill. So, Krishna stood there holding up the hill for 7 days. Indra became astonished. And according to Gopal Champu, there is a very wonderful loving exchanges that are going on between Krishna and all the Vrajavasis, wonderful discussions between Madhumangal, Yashodamayi, Nanda Maharaj, and exchange of glances between Krishna and the gopis, and especially Srimati Radharani. So all this you must have discussed. Gauram Bihari Prabhu must have told you. So all these are mentioned there. So after 7 days, the rain ceased and Vrajavasis went back. Krishna kept Govardhan as it was. So there was a lot of reciprocation of different rasas under that hill for 7 full days. Nobody was in a mood to go back only. Let the 7 days continue. They were thinking like that. But they had to go back. So all the gopis would take Krishna's left hand specifically and start massaging it. Oh, with this hand only you lifted this big Govardhan. So they were like caressing Krishna and embracing Krishna. So after this, in the 26th chapter, we see how all the Vrajavasis became astonished, especially the elderly Gopas. They went to Nanda Maharaj and inquired, Nanda Maharaj, it seems that your son is very extraordinary. With 7-year-old child can lift a big mountain and hold it for 1 week, continuously, 7 days and 7 nights. It's not a small thing. So your child also has killed big demoness Putana, right? He kicked this hand cart and he was taken away by a man-eater, Trinavarta, right? 800,000 miles high in the sky. Still, he was safe. He had a safe landing. Although the bodily limbs of Trinavarta were dislocated because of falling from such a height, Krishna was very safe. And Krishna also collapsed this Nalakuvera, this trees, twin Arjuna trees. He killed Bakasur, then he killed Dhenukasur, then his brother, Krishna arranged that Balram kills Pralambasur. He swallowed forest fire and saved all of us from Kalia and all that. So he subdued Kalia. So it seems that your son is very extraordinary. So we have questions about him. Then Nanda Maharaj just repeated the verses that he heard from Gargamuni. So Garga Acharya, he said that my son will have Narayana Samogunaihi. So he will have qualities and prowess as good as Lord Narayana. So we need to protect him. So like that he repeated all those verses and then said that his conclusion is that it's not that Krishna is powerful, just that God is helping him. Narayana is helping him to do all these things. But thinking that he is a great person or a powerful person, please don't slacken your affection for Krishna, my dear Gopas. You please be affectionate to him. So he is very, he is in need of your affection. Right? And even Gopas also were wondering that although he does so many astonishing tasks, still, when we don't reciprocate with him, when we don't show our parental affection towards him, he feels bad, right? So it seems that he's dependent on our affection. At the same time, we see ourselves dependent on him in so many calamities. So it is something very astonishing. So the Vatsalya affection of all these cowherd community, elderly gopas and gopis, will not slacken in spite of Krishna's exhibition of opulences. And you can see in Garga Samhita and other books that after this whole incident, this discussion that happened between Gopas and Nanda Maharaj, so Gopas became little upset. Nanda Maharaj, when did Gargamuni come to your house? So Gargamuni came to your house and performed naming ceremony, and then you had all this
discussion with him. You never told us, right? You kept this secret. So they became a little upset. that chapter is called Gopa Vivada. There was an argument between the Gopas. So that's how it was titled. So then they went to Rishabhanu also, and there was a lot of wonderful exchanges there. So Yanandamara said like that. That is the 26th chapter. Now in the 27th chapter, one day Krishna went on the towards Govardhan to see. Was Govardhan affected because of thunderbolts? Right? Indra was sending so many thunderbolts. Is my dear Govardhan safe? As if you see, for example, a child falls down and then mother will pick him up. Are there any scratches? Like that, Krishna went to see Govardhan. Is there any damage to this hill because of Indra's rain? So Krishna went to see there. And Krishna's another purpose is Krishna would sit there. Krishna knows Indra is regretful. Indra is fearful to approach me. Very soon he will approach me with Surabhi, and I have to give him a private audience. So Krishna was very concerned not to embarrass Indra. So Lord's intention, even in embarrassing, even in crushing the pride of some of his devotees, is never to discourage them or embarrass them or just rebuke them. He protected Indra's dignity by giving him a private audience. So he gave an opportunity to Indra to meet him privately and express his regret, so that in front of other people he wouldn't feel so awkward. So then, as expected, Indra became very ashamed, and then he came. So he went to Brahmaji. Then Brahmaji suggested that you take Surabhi and then go to Krishna to beg forgiveness. If you do some mistake and if you are in a position where you cannot approach Krishna directly, you should approach him through a devotee. Krishna is very kind to his devotees. So through that devotee, you will get mercy of Krishna again, like that. So Indra offered such prayers. Vishuddha sattvam tavadhama shantam tapomayam dhvasta rajastamaskam mayamayoyam gunasam pravaho navidyatete grahananubandha. This verse, very elaborate verse. You have discussed this verse. So last time I took this verse for almost 45 minutes to 1 hour, explaining each ever and every limb. Purport is also very deep. So now Krishna replied Indra. After Indra's prayers, Krishna replied, you are very intoxicated by your opulence. So out of mercy, I stopped your sacrifice. My stopping of your sacrifice is my mercy. So sometimes the mercy can come in any form. It may not be always pleasant. So the mercy could come in the form of crushing one's false ego. Actually, in this material world, there is no pressure on us. We may think that there is peer pressure, social pressure, so many other pressures. But the actual pressure upon the living entity is the pressure of his false ego. Every conditioned soul in this material world is being pressurized by his false ego to act in certain ways against his nature. So and so person is pressurizing me to act in such a way, although I don't want to act. Everybody has this experience. But the actual pressure is, the conditioned soul is being pressurized by his false ego to act against his nature. What is his original nature? He has to be eternal servant of Krishna. But because of the pressure of the false ego. Pressure ego, false ego itna pressure dal rahe. Aisa karo, aisa karo, aisa karo. I am his servant. No, you are not his servant. You do this, you do that. It's not allowing us to exhibit our own natural inclination to serve Krishna. Right? Sometimes so when service gets so much, we may feel pressurized. That's actually pressure put upon us by false ego. Many times. Of course, there are some limitations to the body and other things that we need to consider. But generally, when the soul in this world is expressing his unwillingness to serve, that is because of he's being pressurized by his false ego. So Indra was being pressurized by false ego. Although he's a servant of Krishna, because of his false ego, he could not serve Krishna.
right? He opposed Krishna. He planned to destroy Krishna's dearmost devotees. So to that extent, he was pressurized by his false ego. Now, he became regretful after undergoing all that. So, Krishna is giving him a chance. So, a person blinded by power cannot see me present near as a punisher. For his own welfare, I drag him down from his opulent position. Whenever Krishna is apparently causing some disturbance in one's material position, that's only to bring him back to senses, spiritual senses. Indra, now you can go back and execute your other responsibilities as the king of heaven. Be sober. Don't be proud falsely. Then Mother Surabhi comes and offers her gratitude and prayers. She says, we thought he is our Indra, but he is not our Indra. You are our real Indra. We want to worship you. We want to do Abhishek for you. Right? You are the greatest of mystics. You are the soul and origin of the universe. You are the master of the world. By your grace, we have you as our master. You are our real Indra. So like that, she offers various prayers. And then as per the order of Lord Brahma, so they performed bathing ceremony of Krishna. And they coronated Krishna as Indra. Right? So you descend to this world to relieve the burden of the earth. You are the real king. So then Krishna's Abhishek was performed in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu. This Abhishek ceremony was described so elaborately. Who all offered so many items to Krishna, that is described very wonderfully. That section you should read. Ananda Vrindavan Champu. This Govardhan Puja. Abhishek ceremony especially. So then demigods came and chanted the glories of the Lord. They showered flowers. And cows drenched the surface of earth with their milk. Rivers, mountains, what are their contributions, that is described. Now in the 28th chapter, we see how once Nanda Maharaj went to Yamuna and started taking bath there. Ekadashi parent time. Today is Ekadashi, right? So our parent time was an special time. So it's allowed to take bath in a holy river at certain timings. So you cannot take bath at odd timings. But according to calculations, that day, whatever auspicious muhurta in which one has to take bath was little early, and Nanda Maharaj went and took bath like that. He didn't go against any astrological calculations. But one servant of Varuna, who is not aware of these technical details, regular time pe ja rahe. Generally, the fast breaking time is like whatever, 6:30 to 10. It's generally at that range. But today we have to break fast before 7 only. Right? If someone thinks that, hey, you are breaking fast before 7 or 6:30, generally it is later. If someone catches that your Ekadashi is waste, then it is not correct. Right? So, Varuna's assistant got confused with these calculations and then considered Nanda Maharaj did some mistake. So, Nanda Maharaj was arrested by Varuna's servant. He was taken to his abode. Then everybody was searching, where is Nanda Maharaj? Where is Nanda Maharaj? Then news went to Krishna and Balram. So then Krishna entered the lake, and Krishna went to Varuna's abode under the water and then brought Nanda Maharaj back. And Varuna, actually, he was worried. My servant, foolish servant, he kidnapped father of Krishna, what is going to happen to me? So Varuna was waiting at the gate, main gate of his abode. There is his water abode. Inside the water also he has a palace, water palace maybe. So he was waiting at the gate only. At any time Krishna may come with so much of wrath. As soon as he starts arriving, starts coming closer to my abode only, I should receive him nicely, I should please him, I should worship him. So with an aarti plate, he was waiting at the gate so that as soon as Krishna comes, he can please him. So Krishna came and then Varuna worshipped him. Sorry, we did a mistake. Please take your father back. So here is your father. I kept him in asan. He's very safe, right? No harm for him. So please forgive our mistake. Please take him back. And I'm very happy that somehow circumstances became like that that you have personally come to my abode and gave me darshan. I'm very happy for this. He said like that. Then Krishna took him back. Krishna was pleased with Varuna. So actually Krishna was also having dialogues. Who is that fellow who has taken my father? So like that he was coming. So but Varuna pleased him. So Krishna came out with Nanda Maharaj. Now all the gopas thought that Nanda Maharaj drowned in Yamuna and then Krishna brought him back. Krishna must be really special. Did Krishna... Then Nanda Maharaj also described what all he has seen inside the water at Varuna's abode. The gopas thought that will Krishna ever give us his abode? Will show us his abode? So Krishna understood the intention of all the gopas and he gave him a vision of his transcendental abode. He showed view of Vaikuntha also. Then all the Vrajavasis felt that our position is quite good. Right? So Vaikuntha opulence is different from this Vrindavan experience. So they were in a good position already. So that Krishna made them realize. So this whole incident happened at Brahmaharada where Akrura also got this vision under the water when he was taking Krishna and Balram back to Mathura. So that is the 28th chapter. In the 29th chapter, which is the beginning of Rasa Panchadhyaya, Krishna plays the flute. Right? When Krishna plays flute, it attracted the minds of gopis. And it's the time of Sharat, Sharat Purnima, or Sharat night, Sharat Rutu. So in Vrindavan forest, he was playing flute. And all the full moon is also there. So gopis gave up all bodily conception. Gopis gave up all their household activities. They, in the middle of the night, they just ran towards Krishna, right, to the forest. So there are different categories of gopis. Some are Nitya Siddha gopis, some are Sadhana Siddha gopis. Means there are some special groups like Srutichari gopis, Rishichari gopis. When Lord Ram went to Vanavas, all the sages got attracted to Lord Ram. Lord Ram, we are so attracted to you. We want to be your consorts. Ram said, you are in male body, I am in male body. So even if you assume female bodies also, I have taken a vow to take only one patni in this incarnation. So, but I will fulfill your desire when I become Krishna. So all those rishis became gopis. There are Srutichari gopis. They followed the footsteps of the gopis and then they became gopis. So they are all Sadhana Siddha gopis. So like that there are different groups of gopis who came for this Rasa Leela, right? And there are some devotees who could not, some gopis who, because of some contamination, they could not go out, right? But they closed their eyes and then associated with Krishna in their meditation. So some gopis who could not go were physically away, they were in separation. And because of separation, they went through a lot of anxiety and that destroyed their sins because of that anxiety. And there are some other gopis who could not go, but they associated with Krishna in their meditation. Right? They were experiencing union of Krishna. Because of that, they were happy and they destroyed that happiness, destroyed their piety. So by experiencing happiness, one destroys piety. By experiencing distress, one destroys sins. So this is some contamination because of which they could not actually go there and participate. But they were having these emotions. So whatever little contamination is there, that also was purified. So Parishit Maharaj asked, how can all these gopis who know Krishna as their lover can be freed from attachment? So Sukadeva Goswami said that persons who direct their these feelings like anger, lust, fear, etc. towards the Lord, they will be absorbed in the thought of the Lord. So although these are negative feelings, lust, anger, fear, etc., still, if one dovetails those feelings in Krishna and that those feelings will bring them intense absorption in Krishna, then they will achieve perfection. Just like Shishupala, he was inimical towards Krishna, but he was absorbed in that envy. Constantly he was thinking of Krishna. Kamsa was fearful, constantly he was thinking about Krishna in that negative emotion. So that absorption, even in a negative emotion, will give them benefit. So Krishna welcomes the gopis and tells them that, oh, you have come here, welcome. But why did you come here? So in the middle of the night, you have your husbands and brothers and then fathers, mothers, mothers-in-law, fathers-in-law, children. So many people are there. Leaving all of them in the middle of the night, you have come here, it's not good. So time is not appropriate, it's night time. Place is not appropriate, it is forest. Person, it's not appropriate, you're all women. How can you come like this? So you should not cause anxiety to your relatives. Please go back. Like that, there was a lot of argumentation. And like Krishna was giving them some karma yoga, karma yoga teachings of telling them some moral principles, right? How, what are the religious duties of a household lady, all that. What Krishna spoke is appropriate for a regular household lady, right, in this world, but not to the gopis who have transcended the protocols of this world by dint of their pure love for Krishna. So he also spoke about result of abandoning husband, so many things he spoke, religious principles. So he is preaching some vaidhi sadhana bhakti to ragatmika bhaktas, not even raganuga bhaktas. It's way below their standard of devotion. So yeah, there is a lot of discussion that happened. So the gopis' response upon hearing Krishna's words is that they started crying. Their body showed symptoms of anxiety and unhappiness. So Krishna's disposition was very unfavorable towards them, apparently, in this context. The gopis said that, don't speak cruelly, don't reject us. Please reciprocate with us. Just like Narayana also reciprocates with his devotees, why can't you reciprocate? So you are the super soul of all living entities. You are the dearmost friend of all souls. All service should be done to you. So like that, you stole our heart. Who played flute? You don't want us to come here, but why did you play flute? So like that, there was a lot of discussion, quite esoteric. They expressed feelings of their servitorship to Krishna. Right? So then Krishna accepted them and started dancing with them. So some of the gopis felt very happy and privileged to have this intimate association of Krishna. That was little pride in them that they were having in the association of Krishna. So Krishna said, no, I cannot tolerate this pride in my devotees. So he immediately disappeared. So even at that level also. So this next chapter describes the madness of gopis in separation from Krishna. There are three stages of consciousness of the gopis. First, they were in complete internal consciousness or unmada. And second, partially external consciousness they have. So they are discussing some intimate activities of Krishna. And they came totally into external consciousness, identifying themselves as gopis or devotees. Right? Complete internal consciousness, partial external consciousness, and full external consciousness. So these three stages of their consciousness are described in this chapter. So these maddened gopis, out of their unmada, they started wandering from one forest to another forest in search of Krishna. In the middle of the night, all these girls are searching for a boy in the forest. So it's quite astonishing in the days of such cultured society, Vedic society. Now if it happens, it's not a big thing. But there, in those days it is happening, that is a big thing. That's why their surrender is glorified to such an extent. Right? Because that sight is uncommon. Ladies of cultured society, they never roam like that with husband, with some other person, abandoning their own husbands. So that is the epitome of Madhurya Rasa they have, Parakiya. Swakiya and Parakiya. Beyond wedding also. Even the wedding protocol also could not stop them to express their love for Krishna. That's why they are glorious. So on the material moral standards, it is wrong. But considering it spiritually, that's very bold expression of their affection for Krishna. That is like ahaituki apratihata. No interruption in their service to Krishna. Even the social customs also cannot be interruption. There could be so many physical constraints and other constraints. If one surpasses that, one will say, ah, wow, wonderful, you have done. But here, they have surpassed the social customs also, which is very difficult to surpass. Right? They have given up family members. Pati sutanvayat bhratru bandhavat ati vilankhyate achyuta agata. So pati, suta, bhratru, bandhava, all of them they have abandoned. It's very difficult for a cultured woman to do it. Right? So now women may have jobs. Right? I want to live independently. Some may say like that. But there's a dependence on the family, dependence on the society, dependence on the husband. Right? That is the cultured way they were brought up. So in that society they have given up. That is the highest expression of love. So later they came to some partial external consciousness and they started depicting Krishna's pastimes. They were asking the tall trees, they were asking like bushes, they were asking plants, they were asking flowers. So did you see Krishna? So like that they were asking so many living entities, movable and immovable living entities in the forest. Where is Krishna? Then they started enacting various pastimes of Krishna, like Kaliya, then Putana, then so many other pastimes that Krishna enacted. They started enacting them. Trinavarta, Sakatasur, right? So Kaliya means one gopi will become Kaliya and another gopi will stand on that gopi's head. So out of their ecstasy they do all that. So one gopi will become Putana and then another gopi will become an infant baby. So like that they were doing. Somebody was lifting Govardhan hill. So then they eventually saw the footprints of Krishna. Right? They started following the footprints. Along with those footprints of Krishna, there are another footprints of his dearest gopi, Srimati Radharani. So gopis, that special gopi felt little proud. That is Srimati Radharani. Right? So I cannot walk further, so please carry me. So all these intimate things happen. So then in their separation, all the gopis started singing Gopi Gita. Right? First they say, Jayati Tedhikam Janmana Vraja Shriyata Indira Shashvata Trahi Daita Drishyatam Dikshutavaka Tvai Dhritasava Tvam Vichinvati. So this is another set of wonderful prayers, where the gopis even accused Krishna, right? And there is a simultaneous accusing of Krishna and appeasing Krishna. Accusing and appeasing, both they were doing. So first they say, you are like a murderer and thief. You have stolen our hearts. And then by not being present before her, you are murdering us. So like that. So they accused Krishna of betrayal of trust. You are not a trustworthy person. Right, you are a very crooked person. Then Krishna might say, I am the son of Nanda Maharaj and you are saying that, you are accusing that I am the killer of women. What a great accusation. I will go away. I will leave this place. Krishna might say like that. Now fearing that statement from Krishna, they started saying, no, Krishna, you are a super soul. You are the protector of the universe. So please protect your devotee. We are hankering for your association. So like that, all this wonderful Gopi Geet will present the emotions of Krishna in various ways. Emotions of the gopis. Please bless us with your lotus hands. Please bless us with your lotus face. Please bless us with your lotus feet. So like that. Lips. Glories of Krishna Katha. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam. Kalmashapaham. So even the great gopis in the midst of Rasa Leela, also they were glorifying Krishna Katha. How glorious it is. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam. So Krishna Katha can give solace to devotees at all levels. Neophyte people, advanced people, perfected beings also. Krishna Katha can give solace to all of them. So in the midst of Rasa Leela, when they were in intense separation from Krishna, they were just discussing Krishna's pastimes. They were just enacting Krishna's pastimes. So Krishna Katha, Krishna's Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela will give solace to any soul. So, yeah, these are all various verses. So gopis conclude their talk. Then Krishna again presents himself before the gopis. The reunion happens. So Krishna, with a smile on his lotus face, appeared before the gopis. They stood up. Their eyes bloomed. So there are left-wing gopis and right-wing gopis. So the response of the gopis upon Krishna's appearance is described by Sukadeva Goswami. Then Krishna is more beautiful when gopis are surrounding him, like a super soul encircled by his spiritual potencies. So Yamuna Devi's arrangement to beautify Krishna more. So she presented such soft sand and breeze and autumn moon. So again, sweet exchanges between the gopis and Krishna took place. So these are all very esoteric episodes. Then gopis started inquiring from Krishna. So you have come here, you have called us here, then you disappeared from our sight, and again you have manifested here. So actually we want to analyze your character. There are different kinds of people who act in different ways. So we want to know which category do you belong to. There are some selfish, motivated lovers. Lovers are of three types. People who reciprocate are three types. Reciprocators. One, selfish. Some people reciprocate the affection only when others are affectionate towards him. Then second, selfless and unmotivated lover. Even if others don't show, even if others are indifferent or inimical also, they show affection. Then third category of people, they just become indifferent. They don't show any affection towards anyone only. So who are you? Are you a selfish, motivated lover? Or a selfless, unmotivated lover? Or an indifferent person who have no inclination to reciprocate with anyone? So then Krishna says, none of the above. Option A, B, C, D. D is none of the above. Krishna chose option D. So who am I? I am a person who do not reciprocate with my lovers to increase their love for me. I belong to option 4. So that's how Krishna said. Then gopis became a little surprised. Oh, such a clever reply Krishna gave like that. Then Krishna, then the rasa dance began in the 33rd chapter. And there were intimate exchanges. They entered Yamuna also. Right? Now Parikshit Maharaj asked that how could the Supreme Lord violate dharma, moral codes, by touching and dancing with other wives? How is it possible? So please let me know. It's not that Parikshit Maharaj was confused, but he's representing the question of so many people. So Sukadeva Goswami established the transcendental position of the Supreme Lord. He said, Tejiyasam na doshaya. Someone at the level of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what will affect him? So touching filthy water is not very pure. If one touches filthy water, that means he is contaminated. But sun will evaporate water from filthy place also, from a pure place also, but he is not contaminated. Similarly, although Krishna dances with his own wives or someone else's wives, where is the question of contamination in Krishna? So there is no question. So like that, he explained this concept, how Krishna is uncontaminated in any situation. Then in the 34th chapter, all the gopas would go to Ambikavan, that is Shivaratri, right, to worship Lord Shiva. All the gopis, Vrajavasi community, will go to Ambikavan. There in the middle of the night, one snake came and it started swallowing Nanda Maharaj. So all the gopas came and they took their torches, right, with their fire torches. They started beating the snake. But the snake is not leaving. Nanda Maharaj is going more and more into the mouth of that snake. Then all the gopas called out for Krishna. Then Krishna manifested there. Krishna touched that snake with his lotus feet. Then the serpent body went, and then that serpent became a wonderful demigod, Gandharva. His name is Sudarshana, Vidyadhara. So Vidyadhara named Sudarshana. So once he ridiculed a Brahmana coming from the lineage of Angira Muni, so he became a snake. So Krishna told them, "Oh, you are such a wonderful personality. You look so effulgent. How come you were like snake sometime back? So what was the reason?" Then he spoke his past experience. So Krishna wanted everyone to hear the ill effects of offending a Brahmana. That's why he made this Sudarshana speak to everyone present there. So many pilgrims came there on the occasion of Shivaratri. So they wanted to, Krishna wanted them to understand this. Then that Sudarshana also offered this nice prayer. Brahma dandad vimuktoham. I have become free from Brahmana's punishment now. Sadhyaste Achyuta Darshanath. Then I also got the opportunity to see Lord Achyuta. Yannama grahanam akhilan shrotrun atmanamevacha. By chanting that Lord's name, one will. By chanting whose name? All who hear his chanting as well as himself. Everybody will be purified. So here it's not complete. So, sadhyah punati kim bhuyaha tasya sprushtaha pada hite. So, just by chanting the holy names of the Lord, the chanter will be purified and the persons who are hearing the chanting, they will also get purified. That is the potency, purifying potency of Lord's holy name. So, all the Vrajavasis were astonished. So, in that same chapter, another incident is described. So, it is holy, holy day. So, holy day, holy day. So, Krishna and Balaram were sitting in the midst of some gopis. And then they were singing. Krishna and Balaram also started singing. They started dancing. Like that, they were enjoying with so many gopis there. Then one demon named Shankachuda, he's a friend of Kamsa, he came there. He became very envious of Krishna and Balaram. How come these cowherd boys are dancing and enjoying with so many girls? I am supposed to enjoy so many girls. So how can these insignificant boys do that? So he went there and then he took a stick. And as if these gopis were some cattle, he started driving them away. Come, ajo. So like that he was just driving them away. Then other gopis also became little fearful. Then Krishna entrusted these gopis to Balaramji and said, "Take care of them. I will take care of this fellow." So Krishna started running behind him and killed him and took the money of that Shankachuda demon and came back and presented it to Balaramji. Because there were so many gopis there, whom will he give? If he gives that money to one gopi, other gopi will complain. So many gopis are there, so he gave it to Balaramji. But eventually that money went in the hands of Srimati Radharani only. And there is another Acharya comment that money is actually Samantak money. Right? So the connections and all are explained by the Acharyas. So 35th chapter describes another episode similar to Venu Gita. This is called Yugala Gita. When Krishna went into the forest, his activities were remembered by so many other gopis. His beauty and the effect of his beauty on various animals, his dress and the effect of Krishna's beauty on the rivers, on the trees, on the bees, swamps and cranes, all these are described in this. This is also another nice esoteric episode, right? So some of the gopis speak even to Yashoda Mata also, that even demigoddesses are bewildered. Mother Yashoda Mai, you know how your dear son plays flute there? So like that they start describing. So this is all called Yugala Gita, right? So after that we enter the 36th chapter where Krishna slays Arishta, bull. So this Arishtasur entered the Vrindavan and Arishtasur started causing miscarriages also to pregnant ladies, and then it was chasing the cows It's creating so much of disturbance. Its hump is like almost touching the clouds. It's so huge. So it was creating disturbance and scared everyone. So Krishna issued protection to everyone. He went and slapped Arishtasura and thrashed him as if it were a wet cloth. So Krishna entered the village along with Balaram, and everybody became very joyful. So at this point, Narada Muni felt that Krishna performed so many pastimes in Vrindavan. So I think Mathuravasis also should get some nectar. Mathuravasis also should have some association of Krishna. So Narada Muni went to Kamsa and revealed the secret. My dear Kamsa, you know, Krishna and Balaram, they are the sons of Vasudeva. So out of fear of you, Vasudeva arranged that his son Krishna will grow in his friend's house, Nandamara's house there. So then Kamsa became very angry, and he wanted to kill Vasudeva and Devaki immediately. Then Narada Muni came and said, no, they don't kill you. Their sons are about to kill you. So better you catch them, not their parents. And also if you kill them, they will run away. You will miss the opportunity to catch them. So you keep them safe. If you want, you can imprison them also, but you don't kill them. So like that. So then Kamsa just arrested Vasudeva and Devaki, and Kamsa ordered Keshi and Vyomasur. So you go and kill Krishna and Balaram. Then he called all his chief wrestlers, Shala, Toshala, Kuta, Chanura, Mushtika, and ordered them. So you are above, you should kill my this nephews, right? Krishna and Balaram, you should kill them. And he also called elephant keeper Kovalaya Pida. So you also should be ready to kill them when they come here. Then he arranged for a Dhanuryagya, so where he can invite all the villagers for wrestling match and many other yagya and arrangements, so that Krishna and Balaram also will come there from Vrindavan, and they will be killed by Kamsa and all the associates that he arranged at various places. So he called Akrura and revealed this whole plan to him. And Akrura came there, and Kamsa told him, my dear Akrura, here is a chariot, this is my plan, you should go and get them. So this is a new chariot, right? I know you will get excited to have a new chariot and then go to Vrindavan to bring Krishna and Balaram. But Akrura became excited because he felt that Kamsa's used chariot is not fit to get Krishna and Balaram. They deserve a new chariot. So there was some discussion amongst between Akrura and Krishna also. So Akrura said, your plan will not be successful anyways. Still I will follow what you tell me, because I happen to be your subject. You are king and I am minister. Like that. So Akrura advised King Kamsa. And then, meanwhile, Kamsa also made various arrangements to kill Krishna and Balaram. First he had sent Keshi and Vyoma. If they could not kill Krishna, then Krishna will be killed when they come here, right, by Kovalya Pida. And if Kovalya Pida also misses, my wrestlers are there. If they also miss, I am there. That is how he made plan, stage-wise plan. So now Keshi came. Keshi came to Vrindavan and started creating a lot of disturbance. And Krishna, what he did was, he just took his hand and kept in the mouth of Keshi. That was like a red hot iron rod in the mouth of Keshi, and then Keshi died. So then after that, Narada Muni approached Krishna and said, my dear Krishna, I know now in some time only you will go to Mathura and enact all these pastimes. So he gives a summary of the rest of the 10th canto. Right, you will marry 16,108 queens. You will also fight with Indra in that Parijata episode. You will kill Kamsa. You will protect Nrga. Shamantaka episode will happen. You will bring back the dead son of Sandipani Muni. You will kill Paundraka, Dantavakra and Shishupala. So all these future events Narada Muni predicted there and offered such wonderful prayers. Vishuddha Vijnana Ghanam Susamsthaya Samapta Sarvartha Mamogha Vanchitam. So like that he glorified and offered obeisances and Narada Muni left. Then Vyomasur came. He's the son of Maya. So all the cowherd boys, they were playing sheep, thief, police and sheep. That is their play. Some gopas became sheep. And some other gopas became the sheep, shepherd. Shepherd, right? So those who take care of sheep. Cowherd, they say shepherd. So they were taking care. And some gopa became thief, who steals the shepherd. So like that they were playing. And Maya's son, Vyomasur, he came in the form of a gopa. And he stole all the gopas who are in the form of sheep, and then hid them in a cave. Then Krishna detected it and killed that Vyomasur and released all the gopas from the cave. So while this is happening, Akrura started from Mathura to Vrindavan. So on his way, Akrura was in such wonderful meditation. He was reflecting on his fortune. Oh, what kind of yajñas I have done, what kind of charities I have given, what all pious activities I must have done to be able to come to Vrindavan and see Krishna and Balaram. I must be very fortunate. So today I am going to see them. Then later, it is very difficult to see Krishna and Balaram just as someone who is low-born Shudra, he cannot read the Vedas. It is that difficult. But let me put aside all these feelings of my disqualification. Krishna is so merciful. Just like somebody is drowning in the water, in ocean or river, sometimes by the mercy of the waves only he may be thrown on the shore. Similarly, I am very fortunate enough to have the darshan of Krishna and Balaram, because Krishna and Balaram are very merciful to me. So like that, in various ways, he felt Kamsa has done a very great favor for me by giving me this order to get Krishna and Balaram. Because Akrura was very confident that Krishna and Balaram cannot be harmed. Then Akrura was meditating upon seeing, offering obeisances to Krishna's lotus feet and having darshan, and then having the touch of Krishna's lotus hand. So like that he was meditating. Then he also spoke this verse, Syakhilam eva habissu mangalaihi vacho vimishra gunakarma janmabhi. Then I will see the shelter of Goddess of Fortune who will remove all fear. He kept hand on Bali Maharaj and he will keep hand on me also. So like that, various ways. And that lotus hand of Krishna removed the fatigue of all the gopis when he touched the lotus faces to wipe the perspiration on their faces. Like that. Then Krishna, Akrura arrived at Vrindavan and he saw the footprints of Krishna and he became ecstatic. He started rolling in the dust of that footprints of Krishna. A big minister from Mathura city, see the position of Akrura, and he's coming to this simple village where cowherds are there and rolling in the dust there. So from a distance, we will say that Akrura is coming and falling in the dust. See the position, imagine the situation there. He's a minister in Kamsa's province, right? He is in a very important post. Still he is coming and doing like this. That's very astonishing. Now if some minister comes and then rolls on the footpath in front of Vrindavan Bihari temple, you say, oh my God. It's like that. So many times, by trying to visualize the situation, or trying to understand, try to consider in what circumstances all these devotees are performing this devotional service will make us appreciate the episode better. Right? So then he said, Deha Britamayan Artho Hitva Dambham Bhiyam Sucham Sandeshadyo Harer Linga Darshana Sravanadibhi. So to be able to see Krishna and hear about Krishna, then describing Krishna, that is actually the greatest fortune for an embodied being. Right? And then Krishna and Balaram, Akrura saw Krishna and Balaram, their dresses and their physical appearance is described wonderfully. Then Krishna and Balaram honor Akrura upon his arrival and give him good hospitality. And Nanda Maharaj inquired Akrura about the safety of everyone and then said Kamsa has killed all his nephews in front of his own sister. So why should I even ask about the welfare? When you are in the kingdom of Kamsa, definitely you are not very happy, that I can understand. So like that he empathized with Akrura. So next day there was a big meeting. Should we take a break? 39 chapter. We'll take a break. I want the regular full screen like this. Hare Krishna, 39th chapter. So Krishna asked Akrura, so you have come here all the way, so what is the purpose of your coming here? Is everyone safe? So all that he asked, and some pleasantries were exchanged. Then, looking here and there, Akrura revealed the entire plan of Kamsa. So Kamsa is planning to do like this, my dear Krishna. So then Krishna and Balaram had a hearty laugh. That foolish fellow is trying to kill us. Still he doesn't understand who are we. So they kind of laughed. And there was a big discussion. I think that did we discuss this in our class, regular class, how Nanda Maharaj and all the Vrajavasis came there to that house, and there was a big meeting in the night about this proposal that Krishna and Balaram need to go to Mathura next day. First time they are going out of Vrindavan. Then Purnamasi also came. She also said that if Krishna goes now out of Vrindavan, it might take time for him to come back. So like that. But Kamsa has to be killed. So like that, there was a very long discussion. So Yashodamayi was not very much in favor of doing this. But still, Krishna and others convinced that. Nanda Maharaj was not very convinced. But still, he's the head of the community. He also has to agree to this invitation, because if Kamsa's invitation is not honored, he might create some problem there. So that is one concern. Then secondly, if Nanda Maharaj, Krishna is reassuring that Kamsa cannot harm me, right? I will kill Kamsa and come back. That's what he was saying. And everyone has full faith on Krishna's prowess that Krishna can kill Kamsa, he cannot cause any harm. So Krishna's safety is assured. And for Vrindavan's safety also, it's better that they accept Kamsa's invitation. Then the only issue there is, if Krishna goes out of Vrindavan, when will he come back? Will he come back? So people were not very happy sending, but they thought that just 2-3 days. 2-3 days I will be out of Vrindavan. But it's very crucial, I have to be going out. So Krishna was saying like that. So everyone has thought that in 2-3 days Krishna will come back. Just 2-3 days. But gopis thought that Krishna will never come back. Right? He will have more sophisticated girls there to enjoy. We are just village girls. So he will be with them only. Why he will come back? So he will become prince. So like that he was. Gopis were worrying. So the symptoms of gopis' anguish was elaborately described. So they were so pained at their heart, their faces turned pale because of heavy breathing. They were so much in anguish. So, like that, the gopis' symptoms were described by Sukadeva Goswami quite elaborately. Then they sing this Viraha Gita, the song of separation. So they say that, "Oh Providence, oh Daiva, you have no mercy. You bring people together and then separate them." So just same thing. Same thing is mentioned by Kritadyuti when Chitraketu's son Harshashoka died. So but these two are not similar. So both were criticizing the creator only, Providence only. Still, their things were not similar because they are criticizing the Providence out of their affection for Krishna. So there is no material tinge there. So they say that you are, this Akrura came to take Krishna, but he is not Akrura, he is Krura. So because the Providence might say that I am not taking Krishna, Akrura is taking Krishna. They said that you came in the form of Akrura. And Akrura is so indifferent to us. And why should we blame the Providence or others? So it's Krishna who is indifferent to us. So Krishna breaks relationships within a second. He will make friendship with new lovers and give his old friends. So it is very natural for Krishna. So they say that, then they also say that, now this today is very inauspicious for us, but it is very auspicious for the Mathura ladies. They will be able to see Krishna. So they will be able to drink the nectar of his smiling face. And Akrura has not even pacified us. So he's just taking us. So like that, in various ways, they express their song of separation, which is called Viraha Gita, which ends with Govinda Damodara Madhaviti. So Govinda, O Damodara, O Madhava. So please don't go. They were crying, they were weeping very piteously. And they were waiting that some elderly person will come and take some action. But nobody was taking any action. So people were just making arrangements for Krishna's travel only. They started criticizing them. All these elderly people, they have no sense that they are committing suicide. That they are, by sending Krishna away, they are sending their lives away from Vrindavan. That they are unable to understand why nobody is coming and stopping. So let's go and stop. So they themselves came out at the end of the night. So they came out and then they tried to stop Krishna's chariot. So they followed Akrura's chariot and then stopped it and then started beating the driver, stopping the horses. So like that. But nevertheless, Krishna pacified them and then said, "I will return." Right? He consoled them and he started moving. So all the gopis were like painted personalities on a screen, on a canvas. So they were just standing still. Only tears were flowing from their eyes. So they were standing there till the last speck of dust was visible, which is coming out because of the traveling of Akrura's chariot. So they were just standing like that. So then on the way, Akrura went to Yamuna to take bath, to do his sandhya, whatever. So in the lake, he saw a big vision of the Supreme Lord with all the demigods and then his Sesha, all that. So then Akrura offered so many prayers. He addressed the Lord as creator of the universe, origin of all elements, and how different processes of worship are there. So all this we discussed in our regular classes. Right? He later described so many other forms of Krishna also. He expressed his humility by saying that I am also like an ordinary materialist who has all these inclinations of conceptions of I and mine. So like that. I am very crippled. My mind is uncontrolled in various ways. So I am approaching your pure lotus feet so that I can develop this consciousness by serving your pure devotees. Like that, he offered various prayers and then he came back to the chariot where Krishna and Balaram were sitting. Then Krishna asked, "Oh, you look so astonished. You look so amazed. Did you see something wonderful or what?"
As if he doesn't know anything, he asked. Then Akrura just appreciates Krishna and Balram. Again, he offers obeisances to him and then takes them to Mathura. When they went to Mathura, Akrura invited them. Please come to my house. But Krishna and Balram said, after killing Kamsa, I will come to your house. Right? So not now. I will come, but not now. Then all the Gopas, Krishna and Balram, they wanted to go and see the city. First time they are coming to Mathura. Actually, Krishna, Balram and Akrura's chariot arrived there little late. But Nanda Maharaj and other Gopas who started from Vrindavan, they reached Mathura little early because they went through a shortcut. Right? And Akrura also was doing his sandhya and that was delayed. He offered so many prayers. So then Krishna and Balram started to see the beauty of Mathura city. So actually it's not that they are looking at the beauty of Mathura city. Entire Mathura city was looking at their beauty. So they actually wanted to give darshan to all the Mathura vasis. So they were walking and there is one ignorant washerman. So Krishna went to him and very politely requested him, "My dear washerman, if you can give us some clothes, you will have great auspiciousness. Please give us some clothes." Then washerman said, "You are like forest dwellers, mountain wanderers. How can you expect to wear the clothes of royalty? I am the dhobi washerman of a great king like Kamsa. Right? How can I give you?" He just ridiculed them and then blasphemed them in various ways. So Krishna just separated his head by his fingertips. And Krishna and Balram just took the most suitable clothes from his donkeys. He has thousands of braying donkeys. He has so many assistant dhobi walas. Right? That's how his opulent was. He was opulent. So he just picked up some clothes. So Krishna and Balram wore those clothes. And other gopas also picked up some clothes. Then Krishna and Balram moved ahead. Then a weaver came. So Krishna and Balram were very pleased with that weaver. So he gave him cloth ornaments. Because Krishna and Balram were about to go for a wrestling match, if he gives them metal ornaments or whatever, that might hurt their bodies. So he gave ornaments that are very suitable to the current context. Then there is one devotee named Sudama. He's a florist. So he was staying in his own house, making garlands for Krishna. So Krishna and Balram started inquiring, "There is a florist here, where is he, where is he?" Somehow they inquired and then somehow managed to come to his house. Then Sudama directly saw Krishna and Balram. He was so happy. He offered obeisances. Actually, he didn't have much space to offer obeisances also. He offered half dandavats. Then he offered garlands to Krishna, special garlands, and he offered garlands to everyone. He offered a beautiful prayer to Krishna also. So your service is the greatest blessing, right? For everyone. That's a wonderful verse that he offered. And only desire I have is pure devotional service, friendship with your devotees and compassion on all living beings. So please just bestow this desire upon me. Then Krishna moved ahead. Then he saw one hunchback lady. Her name is Trivikra. Right? So she was bending, Sairindhri. So seeing Krishna, she got attracted and offered ointments to Krishna, although they are meant for Kamsa. So Krishna just with his fingers, he just lifted, he touched her chin and then made her straight. And she has a beautiful face, but her body was bent at various places because of her hunchback. Now she became very straight and beautiful. And Trivikra developed lusty desires. She was actually Surpanakha, who was attracted to Lord Ram in the previous incarnation only. Now her desires will be fulfilled. So Krishna said, "Yeah, I will come to your house, but not now. After meeting our relatives and then doing some other works, I will come back to your house." So Krishna and Balram proceeded further. They wanted to see the dhanush. Dhanush is the bow, right? This is Dhanuryagya. We want to see the bow.
And some people were kind of stopping Krishna and Balaram. They thought that they might create some disturbance. But Krishna and Balaram asked some other boys of their age. They said, "Where is the, can you show us? Where is the bow?" And the boys immediately became friends of Krishna and Balaram, and then they took him there. Then guards were stopping, but still Krishna went there and then lifted the bow, broke it into half. And Krishna and Balaram took both halves and then started beating all the guards, and almost around 5,000 or something like that. They killed all of them. And they happily came back to their place. Meanwhile, Kamsa was hearing about all these activities of Krishna, and he became very fearful. He saw so many bad omens, inauspicious omens, in his dream and even when he's awake also. He would go in front of mirror. He sees the body, he doesn't see the face, head. So like that, he was experiencing so many omens. And Nanda Maharaj also could not sleep because he was concerned about the protection of Krishna and Balaram. So after that, but Krishna and Balaram, they slept peacefully. So next day morning, so everybody went to this wrestling arena. So Krishna and Balaram also were going along the gopas. So one elephant keeper with Kovalaya Pida, so he came in front of Krishna. He wanted to block his way. So Krishna said that, "Get out of my way, I want to move ahead." But they were very arrogant. Elephant started attacking Krishna. So Krishna had some fun with that elephant by fighting with it so many times. He tried to escape between the legs of elephant, and then he started running away from the elephant as if he's afraid of the elephant, just to encourage the elephant to fight. So finally he killed Kovalaya Pida, and he killed other people also there. So then they proceeded. Meanwhile, Kamsa was waiting in the wrestling arena. He was thinking that Krishna Balaram didn't come yet. Then he called Nanda Maharaj and said, "Nanda Maharaj, don't worry. I will not punish or do anything to your children. Just ask them to be well behaved. So they created some mischief yesterday, but don't worry, I am not upset with them. I will not punish them or do anything. So ask them to come here fast. I want to kill them." So that he was saying internally. So then Krishna Balaram entered the wrestling arena with the droplets of blood from the body of Kovalaya Pida. They were looking so beautiful. Also, they picked up the tusks of Kovalaya Pida and they were holding on their shoulders. So when all the people at the wrestling arena observed Krishna and Balaram so beautiful, so they were very attracted and they started discussing amongst themselves. So wonderful discussions happened. They were discussing their pastimes also. Then this Chanura and Mushtika, they came forward and they challenged Krishna and Balaram. Chanura said, "You play, you start wrestling with me." Then Krishna said, "We are small boys, you are looking like big mountain, so how can we fight with you? We can play with our boys." "No, no, you are very experienced in wrestling, I know. As a play, you will do the wrestling there with your other boys. And here also you just killed Kovalaya Pida and so many other people. Right? You must be very powerful. There is no mismatch only. We can fight with each other." Then the fighting started. The fight was described. How Krishna is so eager to gain victory and how he is inventing newer and newer ways of wrestling. Just like Krishna invents new tunes while playing flute, Krishna invents new ways of fighting also. Then seeing this unfair match where a tender 10-year-old boy is fighting with a mountain-like wrestler, so all the citizens of Mathura became very concerned, and especially the ladies of Mathura, they felt that it is totally unfair, and the assembly is corrupted with adharma. How can we stay here? So like that, they created the royal assembly. They said, "See how Balaramji is perspiring there, how Krishna is perspiring there." So they saw the tenderness in these boys, and they were very compassionate. And later they started glorifying Vrindavan and Vrajavasis, especially gopis. So gopis are so fortunate that they saw Krishna playing flute And we are so unfortunate to see Krishna being tormented by these wrestlers. So we are unfortunate, gopis are fortunate. So gopyastapa kimacharan yadamushya rupam lavanya sarama samordham ananya siddham drighvi pibantenu savabhinavam durapam ekanta dhama yashasah shri aishwarasya. So like that, they glorified the position of gopis, how gopis are so absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna, in whatever activities that they might do in their household. Then the wrestling began. Wrestling already began, but Krishna started. Krishna took a decision. Now I have to kill these fellows. So he just killed Chanura, Balramji killed Mushtika, and Shala Toshala Kota also came. Krishna Balram killed them also. Everyone rejoiced. Then Kamsa becomes mad. And then he got up and started shouting, hey, kill this Nanda Maharaj, kill this Ugrasena, kill this Vasudeva. So like that, he, out of his craziness, he started shouting. Then Krishna jumped from the wrestling arena onto the dais where Kamsa was there. And then Kamsa was quite fearful. Then he took his sword and shield and started attacking Krishna. But Krishna just threw Kamsa on the wrestling mat, and Krishna jumped upon his body. Then he dragged the body of Kamsa in the wrestling arena to prove that Kamsa has been dead. Right? So then Kamsa's brothers came, 8 brothers. So they started attacking Krishna and Balram, and Balramji killed all of them. Then wives of Kamsa came. They started lamenting for Kamsa. Then Krishna arranged for the funeral pyres, funeral rites of Kamsa and his brothers. And he also pacified the wives of Kamsa. And then he met his parents, Devaki and Vasudeva, who were simply standing with joined palms. So Krishna just invoked the Vatsalya in them. For a moment they were overwhelmed by this feeling of reverence, because they just saw Krishna killing so many people. So Krishna consoled his parents, Devaki and Vasudeva. And Krishna begged forgiveness. So, we are your children, but we could never come to protect you. So, then they embraced Vasudeva and Devaki. They embraced Krishna and then caressed him. So, Krishna then installed Ugrasena as a king, and he himself became the servant of Ugrasena, and he was working at his command. So Krishna received all his relatives back with due honor, and everybody was free from distress. Then the real father and mother are they who take care of children abandoned by relatives, that is Nanda Maharaj and Yashodamai. So Krishna and Balram consoled Nanda Maharaj and other gopas, and appeased them to return to Vrindavan. Krishna gave him so many gifts. Nanda Maharaj returned overwhelmed with affection. That's another important episode, how Krishna pacified Nanda Maharaj, and how could he convince Nanda Maharaj to go back to Vrindavan. So after the gopas and cowherd community went to Vrindavan, Krishna Balram went to school. So for they went to only forest to tend cows. Now they started going to school. Sandipani Muni school. Right? So Krishna learned 64 arts in 64 days. He was a very quick learner. So some of you might need less time to memorize a verse. Some of the people may need more time to memorize a verse. But no one can surpass Krishna. He can master one art in one day. So if one is proud of, oh, I can memorize one verse just by reciting it 5-6 times, you can see Krishna. So Krishna and Balram retrieved the dead son of Sandipani Muni as Guru Dakshina. Right? So he killed Panchajana demon. He brought the son back from Yamaraj's abode and satisfied Sandipani Muni. Then Krishna told Uddhava, now you should go to Vrindavan once and pacify my parents. So give pleasure to our parents. Also relieve the gopis who were suffering in separation from me. So gopis' minds are always absorbed in me. So he had sent Uddhava. Then when Uddhava went somewhere in the evening time, so he was seeing the wonderful atmosphere of Vrindavan. Right? So all the cowherds' homes in Gokul appeared most charming with their abundant paraphernalia for worship of the sacrificial fire, the sun, the unexpected guests, the cows. So many arrangements they have made. Vrindavan's opulence is seen. So Vrindavan, actually, after Krishna's departure, is of it appears in two ways, aprakata and prakata, right? In one way, Vrindavan and all the Vrajavasis act and deal in such a way that Krishna is present there. And another version of Vrindavan is Krishna, as if Krishna is not present there. They are immersed in separation. All this was discussed, right? Who gave this? Gaurambhir Guru. Yeah, he read all these sections from Navraja Bhaima and all. So Nanda Maharaj received Uddhava and asked him about various things that he inquired him. So because of his own sins, Kamsa got killed along with his brothers. So that, does Krishna remember us? We are his parents. Does he remember his friends and well-wishers and other people? Does he remember Govardhan Hill and the forests here? Will he ever return here at least once to see his family? So like that, Nanda Maharaj, with an overwhelming feeling of separation, he was inquiring about Krishna. So he was remembering all the incidents that happened when Krishna was present in Vrindavan. So Uddhava visited. Then later, yeah, this is all about his their discussion only. Then Uddhava consoled Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Yashoda was almost speechless. She could not speak anything. So Uddhava consoled them, and he spoke about Krishna's position. So he has no mother or father, or wife, or children, or relatives. No one is related, and yet no one is stranger to him. Right? He has no material worth. He has no work to do. Naam karmani limpanti, like that. So then Krishna's position is established by Uddhava. It's quite elaborate. Then Uddhava approached the gopis. So at the sunrise, people of Raja noticed a golden chariot. Who does this belong to? Akrura came back again or what? He came and took away Krishna and Balram, who are our life. And now did he come to take our dead bodies for funeral rites or what? So what is left there after Krishna went away from Vrindavan is dead bodies only. Did Akrura came to collect those bodies? Or is he going to conduct some sacrifice by offering our flesh in the sacrifice? Why did he come here? So they were suspecting like that. Then Gopis saw Uddhava. Then sorry, we thought Akrura came, but here is some person who is resembling Krishna only. He is wearing Krishna's dress. He is wearing Krishna's ornaments. He is wearing Krishna's garland. He looks like Krishna. He has complexion of Krishna. So who is he? So keeping aside their shame also, all the gopis went to meet Uddhava. And they took him to a secluded place and started inquiring from him various questions. So this also we discussed, right? I only spoke this. So gopis said that just like prostitutes abandon a person who doesn't have money, or subjects abandon an incompetent king, or students abandon a teacher after their education, and priests abandon after they received dakshina. Similarly, Krishna has abandoned us. Does he remember the pastures of Raja? Does he remember anyone in Vrindavan? Does he remember at least his parents? Right? What to speak of us? And it seems that is the only thing worth remembering from Krishna, his parents. So we are so insignificant to him. How will he remember us? And he has other new contacts, right? We are like old. We have been used and rejected mal. So they were thinking like this. They were expressing all their anguish. And I know you have come. We know that you have come here just to pacify his parents. And Krishna must have forced you to come here. Otherwise, you must not have volunteered, because you also will feel separation from Krishna. How can you stay away from Krishna? So gopis are convinced that anyone who comes in touch with Krishna will get attracted to Krishna, and they don't want to leave Krishna the way that happened to them. So like that they said, and then one gopi, Srimati Radharani, she started speaking to a bumblebee. This is called Bhramara Gita. So there are ten kinds of jalpa, or the impulsive speech spoken by a lover. So all that she speaks, that is Bhramara Gita, very esoteric section. Then Uddhava said, actually Lord had sent a message through me to give you. So then he spoke, actually this message of Krishna has two different meanings, which we discussed in the regular class. That has an external meaning, jnana, and that has an internal meaning. Just like Krishna tried to console the gopis through karma yoga in the midst of Rasalila, beginning of Rasalila, then he tried to pacify them through jnana. But gopis are never to be pacified. They are beyond all this jnana, karma, etc. So the essential message of this gopi, of Krishna to the gopis, is that they should not think that their association with Krishna is temporary, right, or like a dream. Krishna will continue to associate with them. And just to increase their intensity of absorption in Krishna and affection for Krishna, Krishna causes separation. But still, all the gopis would say that if this is the message of Krishna, you keep that message with you only. And when Krishna leaves his new friends there, new Mathura ladies there, you can give this message to them. It's not meant for us. So to increase the separation, increase or intensify our affection for him, he has left us. This argument we cannot take. This proposal is not very exciting to us. We feel separation from Krishna even when he is standing right in front of us. And if he just leaves us and creates a temporary situation of separation, how will he live? If he leaves us, we cannot live. That's what he say. They say. And then finally, Krishna gives the last verse, saying that, no, I will actually come. And after coming back also, I will not go away, saying that to increase your separation, increase your absorption, I have gone away. After coming back, I will stay with you only. Right? That is a union forever. So I have come here to do some important tasks. I will finishing it, I will come back. Then gopis got pacified. Right? Krishna assured the gopis. And there are so many other details where Krishna gives an example of gopis who could not get an opportunity to enter Rasalila. But still they got opportunity to associate with Krishna in their memories. And later they got opportunity even to associate directly also. So by having patience, you will get me. So don't lose patience. Don't become impatient. Don't try to give up your lives or do something unnecessarily drastic. So I'll come back to you like that. So gopis became little consoled by this message. And then Uddhava glorified the position of gopis. And there are so many beautiful verses in which Uddhava aspires for the dust from the lotus feet of the gopis. Asam aho charana renu jusham aham syam vrindavane kimapi gulmalato ushadhinam. Let me become a bush or a creeper or a grass in Vrindavan so that I get the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis. Then Uddhava stays for a few months and then leaves from there. Then after Uddhava comes back to Mathura, Krishna asks him. For several days Krishna would sit and hear about the news of Vrindavan from Uddhava. Then after that, Krishna goes to please Kubja. So he goes to Kubja and Trivakra's house. Now she is very beautiful and she has kept some paintings there that can invoke lusty feelings in the men who come there. So Krishna came there along with Uddhava. Uddhava is a constant companion and both of them were offered seats. Then Uddhava sat down. So because of one's close connection with a greater personality, one may feel that I also have become great like him, right? Same privilege, I also can accept like him. One may think like that. But Uddhava is constantly aware of his subordinate position to Krishna and he did not accept the same privileged seat as Krishna when Kubja offered. So then Krishna fulfilled the desires of Kubja and then they went. Krishna was thinking that if people see Uddhava here along with me, people will misunderstand him. To protect his image, I need to move from here as soon as possible, like that. So actually Kubja said that you stay for more time. Then Krishna says, no, I cannot stay for more time, I have to go. That Kubja is actually representing Mother Earth. So when Mother Earth is in a crippled condition, Krishna will come and then rectify her condition. So that is what Kubja's straightening of back represent. And when Kubja is asking him to stay forever, for longer time, Krishna says, politely says no. That means that Krishna will not stay forever on the earthly planet. Although he occasionally comes as an incarnation and stays for some time, he will not stay as Krishna throughout whatever millennium or Brahma's life or whatever. So that is not the way. So he will give brief association only. So nevertheless, Kubja is very fortunate to have received such intimate reciprocation from Krishna. Right? But she is not at the level of other Madhurya devotees like gopis and Dwaraka queens. So her Madhurya relation with Krishna is much inferior. Next, Krishna goes to Akrura's house. And Akrura offers wonderful prayers. So these prayers are also very nice. So Akrura received them. Akrura actually was seeing Krishna, Balram and Uddhava coming from a far distance from his house only, from his rooftop. And then he immediately went there and to receive them, he made preparations. After he came, he's offering prayers. After they came, Akrura offered prayers. It's good that you have killed Kamsa. So all this you have recently studied. These slides are meant for the regular class, not for overview class. It has to be crisp. Then at the end of, after he offered prayers, Krishna gave Akrura a service. So bhakti is not just exchanging pleasantries with Krishna, offering prayers and all. It also has some action. So Krishna engaged Akrura in service. What service? You go to Hastinapur. It seems that Dhritarashtra is not taking care of the Pandavas properly. He and his party are scheming against Krishna. He is scheming against my devotees, Pandavas. You see what's there in the mind of Dhritarashtra. Then Akrura goes. Then Akrura, Akrura goes to Hastinapur and meets Vidura and Kunti and asks about the welfare of Kunti, right? Consoles Kunti in various ways. So all these are mentioned. Now at the end, Akrura meets Dhritarashtra. And he says that you should be equal to all your sons and nephews. You should take care of them properly. So king is supposed to take care of all the citizens properly. What to speak of his own family members? We are becoming partial, like that he says. Then Dhritarashtra says, yeah, what you say is correct. But how long does the lightning stay in the cloud? How much time you can see? Similarly, your instructions I cannot see in my heart for a long time.
So I appreciate, but I can't follow. Simple. And why you can't follow? Because I am so overwhelmed with my affection towards my own son, and I'm helpless. That's exactly the point. So Dhritarashtra might say that because of destiny is taking me in this course. So I'm just destined to go in this direction because of my affection for my son. So destiny is what? You helplessly go through. Destiny is what you create by your actions. So now you have the option to go in this path or that path. Once you go in that path, you have to follow whatever you get in that. Once you sit in the flight that goes to Kolkata, you will end up in Kolkata only. You will not end up in Bangalore. If you want to go to Bangalore, sit in Bangalore flight. Right? So, but in the flight also you have your destination is fixed. You have to go to Kolkata only. But in the flight you can choose whether you want to read a novel or you want to read Bhagavatam, or you want to chit-chat with your co-passenger, whether you accept the food that the air hostess gives you. So all that free will is there within that. But once you accept that, once you take up some action, that result is predestined. So like that. So this point Dhritarashtra missed. So one cannot blame destiny. One cannot blame fate. Fate is what you create by your own actions. So knowing that what I am doing is incorrect, Dhritarashtra was helplessly doing it. Nevertheless, Dhritarashtra is a very exalted soul, because he got the darshan of Krishna also. Even Acharya say that he is an eternal associate of Krishna. That's mentioned right in one of the purports. Important purport. So that's the point. Dhritarashtra is knowingly unable to apply the principle. He knows this is what I need to do. This is good, this is bad. But he is following bad only. He is unable to follow good voluntarily. So that was the mistake on his part. And he offered a wonderful prayer to Krishna also. He said, Krishna has descended in this world to reduce the burden of this earth. And what is that burden? My sons. Dhritarashtra could understand that his sons were a burden on earth and Krishna came to subdue them. But still he is unable to take an action. So we know what is right, what is wrong, and still we cannot act right. So that is the inability, that is the pathetic condition of a conditioned soul in this world. So all these are mentioned there. Then Akrura goes back to Mathura. You see, this is another important point. Krishna gave Akrura the service of going to Hastinapur and see if he can do something with Dhritarashtra or Kunti and others. So Akrura went there, stayed for almost a month, right? But he came back doing nothing. He stayed there for 1 month. Could he bring a transformation in the heart of Dhritarashtra? No. And for what reason he was sent to Hastinapur? To know the intentions of Dhritarashtra. That Krishna already knows. So Krishna knows what is happening in Hastinapur. Still he had sent Akrura. Second, Akrura could not bring any positive change in the situation there. Still he was engaged in that service. Sometimes the outcome of the service may not be very substantial, apparently. But Sukadeva Goswami describes that Akrura was successful in his mission. What was success on the part of Akrura? He couldn't accomplish anything in Hastinapur. But the greatest accomplishment that Akrura got was he sincerely followed the instruction of Krishna. Sometimes a service may seem redundant. Akrura might have thought, my going to Hastinapur is just wasting one full month. I cannot transform Dhritarashtra, and you already know the intentions of Dhritarashtra. You already, Krishna already knows the situation at Hastinapur, still he had sent. So that apparently the service seems redundant. Apparently the accomplishment from that service seems redundant. There is nothing that he achieved. One month waste ho gaya. I was told to sit here and then watch people are how many people are coming. Nobody came only. Mera 4 ghanta barbad ho gaya. So people may think like that. Right? There was no need for doing this service. So once when we were in BT 2009, we were given this service of temple hall cleaning. So one of our devotees asked our in charge, Vamsi Bihari Prabhu, in those days. So they will give cleaning, Rasmai Prabhu. He will say, you clean this hundi, or you clean the carvings inside. You just do like this. You know, we do it for two and a half hours, 3 hours. It's already clean. There's nothing to do there. So someone asked the question. We are asked to clean temple hall, which is already clean. We are asked to, you know, wipe hundi, so shining. It's already shining. I just take the cloth and then do like this and still, I can't see any perceivable change in that. Every day you do that, wiping only. If after 1 month you do, there is kuch dust niklega and then there is something that you can do. So, Anshari Prabhu gave a wonderful reply. That kind of impressed me in those days, even now. You may not have accomplished, I'm just paraphrasing, I don't exactly remember, but the principle is, you may not have done a lot by doing that service, right? The result of the service may not be so perceivable or remarkable, but you have accomplished a lot by agreeing to do that service, because that shows your humility and surrender and submissiveness. So doing a service which apparently doesn't involve much action shows the submissiveness of the servant. I agree to do this service. Service mein kya hai? Kuch nahi. Phir bhi main karta hun. I give my time. So many times we may feel that when substantial outcome is not there, why should I waste my time? One may get into accomplishment mode. But the greatest accomplishment that one can get is humility. Humility. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Against your opinion, against your conviction, you are doing some activity, bending your head up in front of someone else, some other superior. What he tells you to do may not appear logical, may not appear substantial. Still you do. So that's the greatest achievement. I have achieved the quality of humility to a certain extent by agreeing to do this service, although it doesn't seem logical like that. Our Akrura had this wonderful attitude. Krishna, you know everything. Why are you sending me? He didn't say like that. Krishna, I couldn't do anything there. Why did you send me? He didn't ask like that after coming. Before going or after coming back, he didn't ask any question. He just did it. So that is the 49th chapter. No, 50th chapter. So Jarasandha attacks Mathura. Now Jarasandha is there. He is the father of Asti and Prapti, father-in-law of Kamsa. And the wives of Kamsa went to Jarasandha and said, "We have become widows. That boy came and killed our husband, your powerful son-in-law. You couldn't protect him. Kya chal raha?" So they kind of cried when a married girl comes back to his father's place and then cries. That's an insult to the father. So father has to take some action. Father has to address it. So Jarasandha went, started attacking Krishna and Balram, two young boys, with 23 Akshohini divisions of soldiers. So Krishna is very happy.
I came, I descended to annihilate the miscreants on this planet. Jarasandha is wonderful servant. He is wonderfully assisting me in this endeavor. I don't have to go out and search for these miscreants only. He is bringing all of them, gathering all of them with so much effort and bringing them right at my doorstep. Right? He is assisting me so much in my mission. Krishna became very happy with Jarasandha and killed all those fellows and left Jarasandha so that he can bring some more. Like that 17 times Jarasandha assembled all the demoniac forces and then was defeated by Krishna. So now 18th time also it happened. So yeah, all this we have discussed. Actually Krishna and Balaram call their weapons and then they fight with Jarasandha. So in that fight also Jarasandha says, you are just a boy, that's why I was neglecting you, right? So how can you kill your own family member like that? There was a lot of exchanges. So there were celebrations for Jarasandha, victory of Krishna and Balaram. So then 18th time what happened was Kalayavana attacked Mathura. Kalayavana was Yavana king. There was a story also. Yesterday you must have read, na? Shiva's benediction. There is one purport. Gadhi. Somebody. Gargya. So he laughed at his something. What is that? I don't... Someone can... Yadus laughed. So Kalayavana said that I should cause fear in Yadus, Yadu dynasty. Krishna just to fulfill the desire, fulfill the benediction of Shiva, that the descendant of whoever, that Kalayavana, the dynasty, so they should cause some fear in Yadus. Krishna apparently became fearful. He just respected the benediction of Shiva. How can Krishna be fearful? He started running away. He came with 3 crore soldiers, 30 million soldiers. So Kalayavana went running behind Krishna and Krishna goes into a cave where Muchkunda was sleeping. So 50 is done, right? 51 is not done. Okay. The story is Krishna erects Dwarka here and shifts all the Mathura vasis to Dwarka. They will sleep in Dwarka, they will get up in Mathura. It's like that night you sleep in, they sleep in Mathura, they get up in Dwarka. It's like that. So it's like that. So Krishna erected Dwarka in the midst of this. He protected all the Mathura vasis from Jarasandha's attack and he also protected Muchukunda. Right, he also gave his darshan to Muchukunda, like that. So all this will happen in the next few chapters, next one or two chapters. Okay. So actually Jarasandha thinks that Krishna and Balaram escaped. So Krishna, what he does is he takes Kalayavana and then gets Kalayavana killed by Muchukunda and Muchukunda offers prayers and then Krishna moves ahead and Balaramji also accompanies him and then they go to some mountain. And Jarasandha started chasing Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram jumped from that mountain. So Jarasandha thought that they are on the mountain. Let me set fire to this mountain from all sides. So Krishna and Balaram jumped from there and they manifested in Dwarka. And then Rukmini, from here onwards, there are marriages of Krishna. Rukmini sends a letter, love letter, first love letter ever written. And that Brahman Agni Jyotaka, he brings that. And then Krishna goes and kidnaps. So after that, Shamantaka episode, all this will happen. Thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.